This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
What is... Dax, are you...
tracking all our cars on Carvana Value Tracker? On all our devices? Yes, Kristen, yes I am.
Well, I've been looking for my phone for...
In Dax's domain, we see all. So we always know what our cars are worth.
All of them?
All of them. Value surge! Trucks up 3.9%!
That's a great offer.
I know. Sell?
Sell.
Track your car's value with Carvana Value Tracker today.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you. From daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Final hour of power coming up here on this Friday night edition of Overtime. It's the youngest in Charles and L. Willingham. I'll take you up to 10 o'clock. Big thank you to our guy Grant Paulson who joined us in the last segment. If you missed any of my conversation with Grant, you're in luck. You can download the always free Odyssey app, use the Odyssey Rewind feature, and go back to the 8:30 segment. Hear my conversation with Grant Paulson talking all things Washington Commanders offseason as we get geared up for a pretty big offseason, man. It is one of those offseasons, man, where you're going to find out a lot about your front office. You're going to find out a lot about who you are as an organization and as a team. So we'll see as we move throughout the rest of this offseason what major changes we see with this football team. We were discussing in the last segment was the possibility of Brandon Coleman being kicked inside to guard and then Mikey Sainristil potentially being kicked back inside to that nickel corner spot. I think both Grant, Ben, some of the callers here have hit on it. To me, man, I don't think you can go wrong with either decision. But if I had to answer it here on February 28th at 9 o'clock at night, I'm probably leaning towards keeping Brandon Coleman at tackle and then bumping Mikey Sainristil back inside. The difficult thing that we maybe don't touch on enough with this when it comes to that decision as to whether or not to kick Mikey inside or not, you got to weigh your options and decide, well, hey, can I get a outside corner to come in here that can start from day one? I asked Grant Paulson the question of, was there any position, right, that Washington drafted at 29? Was there any position that would make you cringe? And I thought GP was going to give me one. Obviously, quarterback is not a real answer because Lord knows they're not taking a quarterback. But for me, I did have an answer to that question, and I would have looked at it, and to me, the position is actually cornerback. Like, I don't think Washington should take a corner at number 29 overall. And I saw Field Yates in a mock draft that he did last week, or it may have been at the start of this week on Monday. He mocked Maxwell Hairston, the Kentucky corner, to Washington. Now, ironically enough, Maxwell Hairston completely lit the combine up today. Outstanding vertical jump, really good 40 time. But y'all know how I feel about that stuff. That stuff is irrelevant to your boy. It's all about the tape. Cut the tape on. You cut the tape on, you get to find out who a guy actually is. I wanted to go around the NFL before we get out of here. Because moves are happening. We found out earlier today Matt Stafford going to stay in L.A. with the Rams on a two-year extension. Talking to Grant about this, I just don't, if I'm if I'm the Rams, I mean, there's no way that they played this game of chicken with Deebo Samuel. Or excuse me, with Matt Stafford. Check out the cobwebs. Like, to me, I'm going to use it as like a dating analogy. Like, the Rams and Matt Stafford have been dating the last couple of years, right? And Matt Stafford and the Rams are treating each other right. They're alternating weekends on who's buying drinks. They're alternating weekends on who's cooking. It's an equal value relationship where the Rams are providing a team in a good situation and Stafford's providing good quarterback play. Well, that being said, last year was very obvious that the Rams were not paying Matthew Stafford adequate market value. Meaning, there are six quarterbacks in the NFL that are making $50-plus million annually. Matt Stafford should be one of those guys. Matt Stafford should be one of those guys. Where I think the Rams are absolutely bat-you-know-what crazy, that's why I go back to the Dayton thing. If you and your significant other are hooking up and all of a sudden you reach a rough patch in your relationship and you decide, you know what? Why don't you start hooking up with the neighbor and the postman down the street and the cashier at Giant and see if they'll pay you what you're worth. See if they'll take you out to the five-star restaurant. That's what happened with L.A. and the Rams, and it makes no sense to me. If I was a Rams fan, I would be looking at Sean McVay and company like, what the hell is wrong with you? Because think about this in the real world. If you're dating a chick, or if you're a female listener, if you're dating a dude, and you decide to let them go have fun with other parties, and then they choose to leave you because they had more fun with other parties than you, that's your fault. That's the risk that the LA Rams ran. When they opened up the door and allowed Matthew Stafford to get in bed with the Giants, to get in bed with the Raiders, you ran the risk of losing the most important piece to your franchise right now. Argue with somebody you love, not me, right? The Rams needed Matthew Stafford far more than Matthew Stafford needed the Rams. Make no mistake about it. I laughed and chuckled when I hear the reports coming from Diana Russini and Jeff Darlington. Well, you know, Sean McVay and the Rams are comfortable going into next year with porn star Jimmy as their quarterback. Hell no. There's no set of circumstances where the Rams would have been able to justify to their fan base starting off next year with Jimmy Garoppolo? Come on. Let's just be real here. It wouldn't have made sense. Stetson Bennett's the other guy that was brought up. It's got to make sense. And to me, it just didn't when it came to the Rams. I know Aaron Rodgers is out there trying to sell himself off to everybody who would listen, including the Giants, by the way. But I don't know, man. It is becoming a fascinating talking point, trying to figure out the thought process, I guess, of the LA Rams. Didn't make a whole lot of sense. I don't know ultimately what is next, but I will say this. The other quarterback needy teams around the NFL, Raiders, Jets, Browns, Giants, what do they do moving forward? That's the question to me. What do they do moving forward? That's the question to me. And the team that I immediately think of is the New York Giants. The New York Giants, according to multiple reports, were in on acquiring Matthew Stafford. Why? Why were they in on Matthew Stafford? The world may never know. The world may never know. And I was talking to Grant Paulson about this before he left the studio. If you are Brian Daboll and Joe Shane, right? If you were Brian Daboll, if you were Joe Shane, and you're trying to keep your job, going after a veteran bridge option at the quarterback position doesn't make a whole lot of sense. Because guess what? The moment Matthew Stafford would have put pen to paper in New York with the Giants, there would have been extreme expectations for the Giants to win in 2025. And let's just be real about it, right? The Giants roster is not a quarterback away from winning or competing or not being a laughingstock. Let's be real here. So if you're the Giants, if you're Brian Daboll, if you're Joe Shane, your seat is tacky hot going into next year. John Mara has come out and straight up said it. Hey, look, you messed up the Saquon Barkley situation. You couldn't coach Daniel Jones up to be the franchise guy. The ball is back in your court, Brian Daboll. All I hear about with Brian Daboll, is, oh, he's on Ozempic and he's eating tuna sandwiches and it's got him in great shape. Can he find and develop a young quarterback? That's all we care about. Josh Allen continuously praises Daboll for his success and his growth in Buffalo. Can we watch Brian Daboll work with another young quarterback? Speaking of the New York Giants, Connor Hughes, who covers the Giants for SNY, had this to say about the Giants' potential interest in other veterans at the quarterback position.
Matt Stafford is officially headed back to the Rams, which means it is time for Plan B for the Giants and general manager Joe Shane. That is exciting, but there certainly is some level of interest there from New York.
It's Connor Hughes of SNY giving us the skinny coming out of the Big Apple. Giants in on several veteran quarterback options. And look, I ain't going to, go over the whole spiel again, but my thought process is pretty simple with this. If you are the Giants, why in the hell are you looking at a veteran quarterback option, especially one that's going to be as pricey as Sam Darnold and as pricey as Aaron Rodgers? Justin Fields, Russell Wilson, that is more in the price range of the New York Giants. When we come back, we'll revisit one of the most gut-wrenching moments of the week. Terps basketball went into Wednesday's contest against Michigan State with all the vibes feeling like one of the best teams in the country. They left the game, in my opinion, with a lot of disappointment. We'll discuss the Terps loss to Michigan State, plus let you hear from head coach Kevin Willard next.
And now, two pigeons who can't believe how good humans have it with DirecTV.
These humans are hopping from streaming apps to live sports without batting a wing.
All from the DirecTV home screen.
With just one click, you could be watching a baseball game, a movie on Netflix,
or a critically acclaimed documentary.
You watch documentaries?
I love the ones that leave you with a question.
What?
Exactly.
DirecTV, a better way to watch whatever you want to watch. Visit DirecTV.com.
Internet-connected Gemini device, separate Netflix membership, and additional paid subscriptions required for third-party apps.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Hey, I'm Andy. If you don't know me, it's probably because I'm not famous. But I did start a men's grooming company called Harry's. The idea for Harry's came out of a frustrating experience I had buying razor blades. Most brands were overpriced, overdesigned, and out of touch. At Harry's, our approach is simple. Here's our secret. We make sharp, durable blades and sell them at honest prices for as low as $2 each. We care about quality so much that we do some crazy things, like buy a world-class German blade factory. Obsessing over every detail means we're confident in offering a 100% quality guarantee. Millions of guys have already made the switch to Harry's, so thank you if you're one of them. And if you're not, we hope you give us a try with this special offer. Get a Harry starter set with a 5-blade razor, weighted handle, shave gel, and a travel cover. All for just $3, plus free shipping. Just go to harrys.com and enter code FLEX at checkout. That's harrys.com, code FLEX. Enjoy.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
What's up, NBA fans? It's Danny Green here. For those who want an inside look at the league through the eyes of a 15-year veteran and 3-time champion, subscribe to my podcast, Inside the Green Room. New episodes drop every week where we take you through the ins and outs of the association's top storylines, as well as breaking news and so much more. Be sure to subscribe to Inside the Green Room on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
one 800 636 1067. We'll take a trip down to Indianapolis coming up in about 10 minutes. Our guy Vic Tafor going to join the program. Covers the Las Vegas Raiders in the NFL for The Athletic. So make sure you stick around for that conversation. Right now, though, want to take a look back, and some people may describe me as a pain freak for wanting to revisit what happened earlier this week. Maryland Terrapin men's basketball, man, a group that's playing really well, had just one loss at home heading into Wednesday's contest against Michigan State. And before the game Wednesday, I was really starting to feel like, you know what? Maryland has the traits and the makings of a team that if they get hot, if they can shoot the ball well, and maybe, just maybe, punch their ticket to the Final Four. But whether this is fair or not, Wednesday's home loss to Michigan State, albeit in a heartbreaking fashion, to me, kind of colored the way that I look at Maryland a little bit differently. I went into the Wednesday night's game thinking that the front court of Julian Reese and Derek Queen would be the separator at home against a conference rival, albeit, right, against a good front court spearheaded by Jackson Kohler. He's no slouch down there at all. But I expected the Terps and DQ and Juju to be able to handle that, right? They got the kid Zapala as well as the 7-footer. Derek Queen, you look at most mock drafts, he's a lottery pick. Ben, I know you were talking about a mock draft earlier. They had him where? How high was he?
CBS Sports had him at 5.
5. If you're going to be that type of player, and we're going to be talking about you as a lock for Big Ten Freshman of the Year, and I know Jace Richardson's got something to say about that all of a sudden, you got to come up big in the big-time moments. And I didn't think DQ and Juju Reese played well. Michigan State, 13 offensive rebounds on Wednesday night to just 4 compared to Maryland. So it just wasn't good enough for that group. Turnovers were a problem for DQ and Julian Reese. Nobody outside of Rodney Rice could hit a shot for most of the basketball game. Like, that was the reality of it. I thought, it was a stat I gave you earlier, Ben, DQ, we're probably going to blow past it now. Probably won't hear from Kevin Willard at this point. But DQ went into the game last night, or the other night, I think it was 0 for 22 from 3. And he shot 2 3-pointers. How differently do you view Maryland after their loss?
It's tough to tell because the starting five, the Crab Five, the sensation that has swept the nation with this Maryland team, they had been so hot scoring the basketball with no production off the bench. That continued on Wednesday, 0 points off the bench, and that's what you come to expect with this Maryland team. However, I think they were due for a cold night shooting. Gillespie did not have a very good night shooting the basketball. Rice was phenomenal. He's been great, really, since conference play started. But Reese and Queen, they were just overmatched physically in that game. And that's a huge sign of concern. Tomorrow in State College at noon, I'll be there on the call for that one. And Maryland hasn't won in that building since 2015.
Really?
So That's something that's got to change tomorrow. I got to see a big bounce back performance before I make any final judgments about them heading into March.
No, I think it's fair. You mentioned Jacoby Gillespie ended up being the guy that took the final shot. 0 for 6 from beyond the arc, 0 for 5 before he took that triple. He was 11 of 11 from the free throw line. The head coach of the Terps, Kevin Willard, had this to say when talking about the final shot, the final offensive possession for the Terps Wednesday night.
He came down, pushed it. You know, maybe if he waits, he doesn't get an open look. You know, and I trust Kobe. He's been great all year. At the end of the day, kid still had to hit a 60-footer to beat you. So, yes, do you want him to take the last shot? Absolutely. But it's not like he took it at 6 seconds and Hollerman was able to dribble up and get a layup. So would I have liked him to wait one more second? Sure. The kid still had to hit a 60-footer to beat us.
Well, he did hit the 60-footer, Kevin, because your offense went stone cold in the second half. Here's my thing with this. Holloman shouldn't have had the opportunity to make that three, because when it's a tie ball game, I don't care what level, high school, college, little league, pros, you get the final shot. That's it. You get the final shot. Maryland has another opportunity to get a big-time win in conference play before they head to the conference tournament. They travel on the road to take on Michigan. That's next Wednesday coming up, I believe. Michigan heading into this week, they were ranked, 15th in the AP Top 25 poll. So we will see moving forward whether or not the Terps can pick up a big-time W before they enter the conference tournament. I agree with Ben, though, man. Tomorrow, it's about Julian Reese and Derek Queen bouncing back. Vic Tafor, who covers the National Football League, joins us next. We continue to go around the National Football League. The quarterback carousel continuing to spin. The first domino to fall, Matthew Stafford re-upping with the L.A. Rams. He'll be in SoCal for the next 2 years as the Rams try and punch their ticket to the Super Bowl. Last year, they were right on the doorstep of making it to the NFC Championship game. But Sean McVay and the Rams, Matthew Stafford, all able to figure it out as Stafford going to stay with the Rams for the next two seasons. It was a dangerous, dangerous proposition there that the Rams were flirting with. I don't know why they allowed him to go out and talk to other teams. I don't know why they were hesitant to pay him. Clearly, the best veteran signal caller option that is available right now in the National Football League. He is now staying in L.A. with the Rams. What does it mean for the rest of the National Football League? To answer that question, we bring on our guy Vic Tafor, who covers the Las Vegas Raiders and the National Football League for The Athletic. Make sure you give him a follow on the old X app at VICTAFUR. Vic, what's going on, my man? How are you?
I'm doing good, bud. How you doing?
I'm doing good, man. It has been absolutely crazy NFL offseason to this point. Obviously, we were waiting word on what Matthew Stafford was going to ultimately do. Now that he is staying put in L.A. with the Rams, who do you think is the best available option on the market when it comes to the quarterback position?
Well, I think the names that jump out are Sam Darnold, and I guess Aaron Rodgers. I think the Giants are going to probably, that's probably their fallback guy as far as they were in on Stafford. I think looking at Aaron Rodgers next. I'm not sure the Raiders are going to go down that path. I think Tom Brady has a lot of say in this. I'm not sure what his thoughts are on Aaron Rodgers. Whereas he was clearly very high on Matt Stafford, and that was a guy who, you know, money wasn't going to be an option, and they were willing to pay him like 2 years, $100 million for Stafford, and ultimately they kind of fell short. But I think they had a shot. I think the NFL was one there yesterday, but I thought they might get him. I think the Rams clearly realized they may have made a mistake. They kind of been on the phone with him and his wife in the last 24 hours, and I think they made, yeah, I'm not sure what the final terms were, but I'm sure they were better than what they originally wanted to pay him. But, again, I just think at this point, Sam Darnold's a guy who a lot of mixed opinions, both, you know, around the league and also even with the Raiders as far as, you know, what is his true value. I mean, is he the guy from the first 14 games or is he the guy from the last two games that looked terrible, and how much do you want to pay him? So, I think that'll depend on the market. I think that'll be where the Raiders will decide if they have interest in them, is just how much money it'll take.
Yeah, Sam Darnold's fascinating, Vic, because like you said, a little Jekyll and Hyde with him last year. You saw, Obviously, it didn't finish well for him down the stretch in the regular season finale. And then in the wild card game, the way I look at Sam Darnold is this, Vic, and tell me if you agree or not. If you're a quarterback needy team out there and Sam Darnold is the belle of the ball for you, can you replicate the ideal set of circumstances that he played under last year in Minnesota with the Vikings? Kevin O'Connell being a quarterback whisperer, arguably, you know, the best wide receiver duo in football with Justin Jefferson and Jordan Addison, a veteran offensive line that has some good pieces, a defense that's ascending and young. When you look at Sam Darnold, a team like the Raiders, for example, Vic, why is Vegas in on a veteran signal caller when ideally they don't have the infrastructure to support that?
Well, I guess the answer is that both, you know, Pete Carroll and Tom Brady and John Spicer, they want to win now. I mean, obviously, they know the roster needs to be built up and there's work to be done. But it's not like a long-term project in their mind. Like, Pete Carroll is 74. He's going to be 74 years old. He'll be the oldest coach in the history of the NFL. Yeah. He's not looking at a long rebuilding process. He wants to win as soon as possible. And Stafford will definitely jump out of that. And I think, to some extent, any veteran quarterback as a bridge-type guy or a guy you play for a couple of years and may have some upside left will help you win more games now than a young guy. Well, this draft is not that strong, especially after the top two guys, and because of a huge drop-off. So you're not going to get a guy this year in the draft and come in and help you like the guys did last year right away. So I think that's why guys like, you know, look at Sam Darnold and the two Steelers guys, you know, Justin Fields and Russell Wilson, they're not ideal guys. But, again, they're probably better when you can get in the draft or later on in free agency. So I think that's why you look at a guy like Sam Darnold, who might be more exciting than he would be otherwise.
Vic, I got to ask my brother, because you cover the Raiders full-time and you're down there and you're in the know with the thought process. Who do we have to scream at? Who is tripping in Las Vegas? Because I just don't know from the decision to even hire Pete Carroll as your head coach, what is the vision? What is the plan here for Las Vegas now that, you know, seemingly Tom Brady is pulling the strings? Because I don't look at them as in their decision making this offseason outside of hiring, you know, John Spytek. Like, I didn't really like the decision to hire Pete Carroll. Tom Brady's got clout and influence. That couldn't draw a better head coaching candidate than 74-year-old Pete Carroll?
Well, I think, I mean, my take on it is you look at the field, you know, the guys, the candidates this year, and, I mean, obviously the Raiders were all in on Ben Johnson. That was the guy that Tom was recruiting back, you know, week 9 before his Fox telecast. He was recruiting Ben Johnson. That's the guy he thought he was convinced to come here, and clearly he fell short, and Ben Johnson chose, you know, Caleb Williams, and as opposed to the Raiders not having a quarterback, that was a big factor. So he missed out on Ben Johnson, and after that, I mean, Vrabel's going to go to New England because that's, you know, that's where he's from. And also, I think Mark Davis was a little wary of kind of going back to the old Patriots way after the whole Josh McDaniels fiasco, so I think he didn't want it, you know, so that would be a tough sell regardless. But once Vrabel's gone and Ben Johnson's gone, well, who's left? Who's really was an attractive option? I think Pete Carroll at least gives you stability. At least gives you like a face of the franchise, a guy who can kind of get fans a little bit energized, you know, because Tom Brady's going to be behind the scenes. He's like the Wizard of Oz behind the curtain. He'll be making the moves, but he ain't going to be talking about it. So he needs someone who can actually, you know, talk to the press and talk to the, you know, the fans and give them some kind of hope that, hey, man, we're going to compete. We're going to, like, you know, get these guys believing and yada, yada, yada. So I think Pete Carroll does that better than anyone else that I can think of that was available in his draft search.
Yeah, when you put it that way, makes a heck of a lot more sense. I'm still wary that the plan is going to go the way they foresee it. Obviously, you got the main piece in play there in Vegas, in my opinion. The main two pieces, that is John Spytek and Tom Brady, a respected evaluator of talent, and then arguably the most respected quarterback in the history of the NFL. So a lot of big-time decisions to be made in Las Vegas. When it comes to the Raiders in the draft, right, number 6 overall pick, from what you are hearing, how interested are they in Shador and Cam? Talking about the prospect from Miami and Colorado, and then are they interested enough to potentially move capital to go get one of those guys?
Yeah, I think my biggest takeaway from this week here in Indianapolis is that I think that the gap between Ward and Sanders around the league has kind of gotten bigger. I think people now clearly view Cam Ward is the best guy in terms of just, you know, the tools and even the upside. And even the interview process, I don't think Shador did a great job in interviews this week. I mean, that's something you're going to hear coming out of here. So I think if you really want Cam Warden, you're going to probably trade up to number one or two and probably get him. So I think that'd be a new factor for them. And that'd be a big price tag for the Raiders to go from 6-1. Will cost you more than you finally want to pay if you are still trying to build up the roster, unless you're totally convinced Cam Ward's going to be a star from day one, which I'm not sure they do believe that. So I think Shadoo will be there at six, and that'll be the great question, because Tom Brady knows him well. They've trained together. He actually gave him an NIL deal in college. So we'll definitely find out what Tom Brady thinks of Shadoo Sanders if he doesn't take him at six, because he's not going to tell us his true feelings. He's going to see all the quotes so far have been, he's a great kid, love his vision, he works hard and all that stuff, things you want to hear. But, you know, we'll see if that really is true when, you know, the clock hits the sixth pick and then they have a chance to take Shadoo Sanders and they don't.
Vic, first and foremost, brother, I am a huge fan of your work. I've been reading your stuff from afar for the past couple of seasons, so I'm excited to finally get the chance to connect with you and talk with you. You are a seasoned veteran reporter, my friend. You just dropped the nugget for us here, so I'm going to follow up on it. Shador right. not interviewing well in Indianapolis. Can you expound upon that? And do you think his interview sessions with teams individually went anything like his podium session today?
Yeah, I think there's concerns. I mean, I think there's always been concerns about, you know, how big of a role is Dak going to have? Is Dak going to be openly critical or kind of be, you know, getting involved? And he's also like, yeah, obviously he has a lot of confidence. Now, there's nothing wrong with having confidence, but I think just in terms of like what I'm hearing, I mean, people compare different quarterbacks in these rooms and in interviews. Like, I think Jalen Milroe did a much better job of like going through like, you know, pre and post snap reads and kind of how he sees the defense and kind of talking ball with the coaching staff. I think that was not an area of strength for Shadoo this week. And so, I'm thinking he can work on that, I'm sure, and he can get better at that. But just initial observation, I think a guy like Jalen Milroe, maybe a little more prepared mentally for the NFL. Wow. Than like Shadoo Sanders is.
That is, I'll be honest, Vic, that is a stunner to hear, because all you heard during the last two seasons of Shadoo at Colorado is just how strong he is from the neck up. I think the tape reflects that at times, but obviously there's the issue with him holding the football too long. That's fascinating, man, because for a guy that doesn't have, Vic, as you know, the premier athletic traits that teams now covet at that position, you would hope that his advantage would be mentally. So to hear you say that, I'm very surprised, my brother, to hear that. So I'm curious to see how the rest of the evaluation goes.
It may be unfair, too, because, I mean, that guy like that, I mean, who can, you know, make plays and see things, maybe he does a better job on the field than he does at the chalkboard. And again, there's so many guys, you used to watch those good in camp films, and mm-hmm. so many guys are going there and dousing on the chalkboard and they can't play. So I think that's why it's so tough to find a quarterback, because the things you think you're looking for, you don't know what you're looking for, and things can be misleading. So, and really all that matters is can the guy make plays in the clutch on the field. So, and we won't know that at this next level until we actually see him in process. But again, it's another like, you know, a minor thing to put on his little note card of things, the pros and cons. Whereas he didn't interview that well, and that's not it's not a deal breaker, but it's definitely one more thing to consider.
Yeah, it's going to be fascinating to see, you know, what the narrative is surrounding Shador as folks continue to leave Indianapolis. Right now we're joined on the guest hotline by our guy Vic Tafer, who covers the NFL and the Las Vegas Raiders for The Athletic. Get him a follow on the X app at VICTAFUR. Want to get off the quarterbacks here for a second. Looking big picture at the NFL, now that Matthew Stafford and that domino has kind of fallen, do you view Sam Darnold as kind of the next best option? I know we were talking about him a moment ago. Who do you think is now, you know, the most coveted option on the open market?
Yeah, I think it's a tough call. I think it's either him or Aaron Rodgers. I know, like, there's a lot of talk this week. If the Rams did move on from Matt Stafford, they probably were going to sign Aaron Rodgers probably for like half the money. So I think Stafford wanted like, you know, $50 million a year or something like that ballpark. I think they thought it would only take 25 to get Aaron Rodgers. Now, I don't know if that's, you know, again, how much does Aaron Rodgers have left? Is he worth $25 million? Is he paying the ass? Is that worth it? There's a lot of things that, I mean, who knows? But clearly he wasn't as bad as Bill Fitter was last year. I thought, look at his final numbers. He had some good moments towards the end of the season, and I know he's a headache, but clearly he has a chip on the shoulder still, wants to prove he can still play. And that's got to be worth something, right? He's got the pedigree. He's got the arm's not quite what it was, but I think it should be good enough. So That's a question I think many teams are going to have to answer this week and next week is, where do you view Aaron Rodgers versus, you know, Sam Darnold?
Yeah, it's going to be fascinating. There was some reporting from Connor Hughes of the New York Post that, you know, the Giants are interested in Rodgers, but Rodgers was more interested in the Giants. So I think we've now reached the point of the offseason, Vic, where A-Rod is selling himself to other franchises, and it's kind of crazy. Like, growing up through high school, middle school, man, as a 27-year-old, this was the guy that was the gold standard at the position for several years. So to now see him with his hand out begging, Vic, it is a crazy, crazy proposition, brother. Like,
yeah, it's probably a lot of it's his fault, man. The guy, he definitely talks too much. And I mean, I know the Pat McAfee thing. Pat McAfee show is kind of, I guess, people like to watch it, and he's on there every week. But I just think teams get tired. Teams don't want that. Teams don't want your guy on there every week and saying all kinds of. If he's delivering the same message as positive, that's one thing. But he just is all over the map, and yeah, he becomes a distraction to his teammates and to the GM and the coach. I just think that's great if the guy's a top five quarterback. But if he's now not, and he's clearly now making the throws he could make, and he's not as in the past, he's pretty mobile. He can definitely get out of the pocket and make some throws where most guys couldn't do. But now that's not part of the arsenal right now. So I just think. Clearly, he still benefits from Aaron Rodgers. Clearly, he knows a lot of stuff, and clearly, I think he still can be a quarterback of a good team if he has the house straight. But it's a roll of the dice.
So I do my local radio, Vic, in Washington, D.C., so we have a couple of things we can cross-talk about here quickly relative to the Commanders and the Raiders, the first of which is sort of like the contingency plan at quarterback for Vegas. If they don't land Sam Darnold, if they don't land Aaron Rodgers, what do you think of the idea of drafting a quarterback at 6, say Shador, and then bringing in Marcus Mariota to kind of be that veteran bridge option for him? And, you know, hopefully you get the same results as Mariota was able to get with Daniels down here in D.C. Is that a potential option?
Yeah, I think I'll probably do a story next week about what the, you know, make a list of all the guys who are out there and what the Raiders think and what their options are. I think Marcus is behind my list. I think he obviously has Chip Kelly ties. I think he was here before with the Raiders. So everyone in the organization, not the staff has changed, the regime has changed, but people in the building still talk about what a great guy he was, a very positive person. I think that his reputation is chief itself. So I think he's a guy who, you know, comes in and will be great in the locker room, is a good leader guy, and can definitely get out of the pocket and still do some damage with his feet. So I think he's definitely a guy who they might bring in and definitely look at, because I think they want to pair an older guy with a younger guy. So regardless who they get, if they got Matt Stafford, they still probably draft a quarterback in round 5 or round 4. And that's the goal, I think, is bringing two guys and a young guy, sit for a while and learn from the older guy.
And then Max Crosby always is brought up in D.C., Vic, as a potential pass rush option for a pass rush needy team like Washington. All signs out of Vegas has been that they have no interest in parting ways with Max Crosby. But if the Godfather deal, Vic, is presented to Vegas, what better way to accelerate your rebuild and kickstart your rebuild than getting a coup of draft picks for one of your premier players? Would that be something that they're interested in, depending on the price?
I think it would be if Pete Carroll was not 74 years old. I think I said Pete Carroll wants to win now, and everything he preaches about, you know, competing and enthusiasm and, you know, endurance, they all. Max Crosby's like the poster guy for that. He's the guy who comes in every day at 6 in the morning and never stops moving around in fast motion. He wants to win. I think he makes guys better around him, both in terms of following his example and also pushing them, you know, verbally. So I just think he's a guy who fits in really well what you're trying to push is your agenda and your team style. And plus, he's still a good age where you can pay him and it's not like a bad deal. I think he definitely has a lot more good years left. So, to me, everything points to they're going to give him an extension for a couple of years for a lot of money and hope for the best.
And then looking at Vegas big picture, like, how close are they to competing? Because I think we started off with this. I just continue to feel like bringing in Stafford or Darnold or a veteran bridge just doesn't make a lot of sense for a roster that I feel like is a ways off. You're obviously around them a lot more than I am and know the ins and outs. Am I hyperbolizing how far off the roster is or no?
Yeah, it's not close, but I'll say this. Like last year at training camp, there was a little bit of optimism because they had these guys in defense. They had like a good defensive nucleus. They brought in Christian Wilkins, a big-time player, and the Max Crosby, and Anthony Young guys. We were getting better behind him on defense. Patrick Graham was just a good job. So a lot of guys got hurt. Malcolm Kuntz blew out his knee. They lost like five starters, like Marcus Epps, their safety. They lost a lot of guys. And so I think the hope of this year is that you brought back Patrick Graham as a coordinator. You bring back a lot of those guys. Wilkins is not going to be back. We're healthy again. So that defensive core can be there for a good young defense. You add a draft pick, whatever. I think you just focus on the offense. Like get a number one receiver and address the quarterback. You never know. But their hopes definitely are going to start with the defense kind of being, you know, what it could have been last year, plus a new piece or two. And then ideally getting a quarterback who can make some plays. Because the quarterback play the last few years has been terrible. I mean, Gardner Minshew was always, I thought, solid throughout his career, but last year he was not solid. And the year before that, Jimmy Garoppolo was hurt. He was awful. So they've had awful quarterback play 2 years in a row. So it'd be a nice thing for them. They can get you, you know, decent or above decent and see what happens.
Two more for you real quick, Vic, before we let you go, man. Appreciate you giving us some time. What was the buzz on Travis Hunter down there in Indianapolis? Weighed in today, and I thought it was 188, close to 190. What is the thought process on him as we get ready to wrap up Combine Week?
Yeah, I think there's still a lot of excitement. I think there's still, like, it's kind of a cool debate about what teams having. Like, what's his best position? Where is he going to play the most at? I think you can make an argument both ways. He wants to play, you know, both a little bit. I'm not sure how – it depends on which teams get him, but I'm not sure that's going to be I think a lot of teams are really excited about it. They wanted him to focus really on one spot, but – ideally, he goes to a team that has an open mind and wants to have some fun and have fans get engaged. And I think letting him play both ways will be kind of cool. I think the question mark is, can his body, you know, hold up? But, I mean, it has so far, and he wants to do it. So I have to give it a shot. But I think everyone's excited about him. I think, you know, again, it's fun when teams, all teams will agree on what his best spot is.
Yeah. Vic, I'll let you go on this, my friend. Of the QB needy teams that are left, what do you think is the most friendly destination for a veteran signal caller?
That's a good question. I would, ideally you go to a place with a good O-line, but most of the teams that have new quarterbacks have bad O-lines. And then again, the Browns seem like they have a decent team, but again, I don't know what they're going to do with it. I mean, it's a concept of Deshaun Watson, so I think. Like, here it is. I'll say this. I got a Kirk Cousins. If he would wind up at a place like, you know, Cleveland, I think they could make me pretty good pretty fast. I think if he's healthier and at least not throwing the ball away and making, you know, decent plays, they have enough of a team around him, they can make some noise, I think.
That is the big question for old cousin Kirk. Can he protect the football? Vic, I appreciate you giving us some time, my friend. This was awesome.
All right, buddy. Take care, man. Appreciate it.
Big thank you to our guy, Vic Tafor. That is going to do it here for this Friday night edition of Overtime. You've been tapped into the youngest in charge, Linnell Willingham. You can keep the conversation going with me on social media. It is at NELL_BTT.